Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up on TMS, commit to the tissues.
Is pejorative pejorative?
Live from the Aluminum Falcon.
Jumping into the Groot Chute.
Having Chewbacca all to himself.
More blood and swears.
First name Bobby, last name Burger.
Disney's Chippendales.
Salacious turd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Your gift pleases Femputer. Femputer demands to know why there are men on her planet.
There's no sign of anything in the desert, Batman. I'd better... Wait a minute, I've spotted something.
This is The Morning Stream. Excuse me while I whip this out.
Welcome, everybody, to the TMS show. That's right, The Morning Stream. It is Wednesday, August 11th, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by fabulous guest host, sometimes Thursday contributor, Mr. Bobby Frankenberger. Three names,
hello.
Right? Middle name Franken, yes. Last name Berger, right?
Bobby Frankenberger. It's actually five names.
Nailed it. All of the syllables are separate names. It's good to have you here, man. You guys know him from a science segment on Thursdays, and some of you are fans of his podcast as well, so you know all about Bobby, but it's great to have you here, man. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here.
Yeah.
It's such a fun time already.
My wife and Bobby are co-hosts this week, so yeah. Look at that. Some of you probably at home heard the call I had with Brian yesterday. Good news. We're going to have him on again here shortly, talking about his day and his plans, what happened last night, the meetup and all that. Looked like fun. I saw pictures, like 10 people or something showed up. That's pretty cool. And he was wearing a loud shirt, which is what Brian
does. How many
does.
Imagineers do you think are going to be screaming? You want to take bets? How many Imagineers will be screaming in the background of this?
Oh, man, that one yesterday was like, I mean, they were trying to get that crowd hyped. And I understand why you'd want that at a Disney resort. Yeah. But I always feel like they're already hyped, and so you're kind of redundantly hyping them. So
yeah,
I've never been
to a Disney World land and not been hyped, like in an amazing mood, you know?
Yeah, that's just I feel like it's default status of being in the Disney space. But nonetheless, those people were super hyped. And hey, who am I to tell them how to do their jobs, you know? It's fine.
Do you think they were like, whenever I hear hype, so they were like a hype man, like... Yeah. They were back in the background going like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like the little, like your Flavor Flavs, your the little tiny guy that went around with Kid Rock.
Right.
Who else? Who's another good hype man? I love a good hype man. I'm a fan of that, especially in rap.
That's the job I want.
Yeah.
That's my dream.
That's pretty good stuff. Little John, is that a guy? Who's that? The little guy from Kid Rock? Is that who that was? He's not around no more, though. He ain't around no more. Look, I'm not talking like this just because you're from South Carolina and currently there now, but for some reason I went a little weird. Anyway.
It felt really, it was comforting. I felt at home.
Did you? Good. Well, that's fantastic. So I got a story to tell that I just have to get this off my chest, and then we'll probably be right around the time to talk to Brian, and then we'll have some other stuff to go through today. But here's the deal. Last night, I'm sleeping, all right? Dead asleep. Went to bed a little late. Was up drawing till about midnight. And I was just having a hard time sleeping. But it was fine. I knocked right off. Fell right asleep. Great. That's a good sign. 2 o'clock in the morning, I hear this. I hear... And I thought it was in a dream. And then almost immediately I hear the exact same thing, whatever it was, a little muffled, repeated again.
Could now you tell I'm awake. Where it was coming from?
Yeah, I had no idea at the time. Now I'm awake and I hear it a third time and then a fourth time. And I sit up on my elbows and I go, what the frick is that? And I hear it again. And I think for a second it's my weird neighbor, my Tesla neighbor.
Right.
Maybe right. having a fight or something, but it sounded like a lady's voice. And they were repeating it. So whatever they were saying, they were repeating it in this stern, like you'd say, did you go to the bar after work? Did you go to the bar after work? Like that kind of tone to it, you know?
Yeah, like, did you pick up the eggs I told you to?
Yeah, exactly like that. And I thought, well, this is a weird fight. I don't know if I should be privy to this, but also why are you waking me up at 2 o'clock in the morning? But they've done this before. They were working on their car the other day. Kim and I talked about it, and they were banging doors all night. So it's not unlike them to sort of be up and doing something.
Right.
And so I got up, and I'm like listening really close. And Kim, at this point, is now awake. She's going, what is that? And I'm going, and I listen again, and I hear it. But I start to make out the words.
So it's getting closer, or you're just getting better?
I'm just getting better at discerning it.
Okay.
And what it is, it turns out to be, it's my freaking Amazon Echo Show in the kitchen. And here's what it's saying. Now connected to Carter's Gym Jam. And then alternately, now disconnected from Carter's Gym Jam. Now, you might say, what is the Gym Jam? That's just the name of her phone.
Absolutely my first question.
Yeah, we all name our phone something dumb. Mine's called the Duke. Kim's is called, I forget, Bubba or something. She named it after Nick because we used to call him Bubba. And then Carter's is called, it's her Gym Jam. I don't know why. Doesn't matter. But the point is, like, she is just far enough. So whatever, for whatever reason, she's been Bluetoothed. Her phone has been Bluetoothed to that show, playing music, whatever. And she didn't turn it off or whatever, but she just happens to be exactly at the right distance where it will alternately connect and disconnect because the Bluetooth's just real weak right there because it's far away across the house.
She's rolling around in the bed.
Yeah, for all I know, that is actually happening. So it kept saying, now connected to Carter's Gym Jam, now disconnected from Carter's Gym Jam, with a little boop in between, although we couldn't hear that very well. The dogs are losing it because they're in the room with the Echo in their kennels, losing their freaking minds. Mm-hmm. All in the middle of the night. So I guess what I'm saying is, turn off your Bluetooth at night. Gosh dang it. Because we were up thinking first the neighbors, then that. And then I kept thinking I could hear it. You know when you hear something repetitively for just too long and now you think it's still going kind of? But
yes,
it's not.
I know exactly. Do you use one of those sound, like white noise generators when you sleep?
No, but I was tempted last night because... You know, I got, I don't know, a half hour, 45 minutes later, and I still kind of think I'm hearing it. I can hear the air conditioner, and then I feel like I'm hearing, now connected to Carter's Gym Jam, like in the background somewhere, and I'm about ready to kill somebody. Oh, by the way I fix this is not going to wake my daughter up, because that would have been just, you know, she's not happy when she's tired. So I turned over to this other Echo we have in the room. It's like one of the old original tall ones, and I say... the A word. I go, A word. And I couldn't remember the language of what you do to tell it to tell another Echo on the network to do something.
Right.
So I said, and then she goes, I'm sorry. I don't. I'm like, hold on. I'm thinking. And then, you know, Kim's laughing. And I go, I finally get my bearings and I go, please turn off the Echo Show and disconnect Carter's Gym Jam. I think words like that. And it goes, we don't know what the hell you're talking about. And it just kept repeating it.
Right.
And so I finally went, oh, no, what I need to do is just turn the volume down to nothing. Who cares if it connects and disconnects all night? I don't care. But sure. If I don't have to hear it, that's all that matters. So I said, A word, turn the Echo Show's volume to zero. And that did it.
Yeah.
But then I couldn't sleep for like another hour and a half. So.
Right. Because you're awake now.
Yeah. Oh, I was so awake.
Do you ever, in the middle of talking, like giving a command to your Echo, realize that you've done it wrong and then start screaming at it to stop? Like it's its fault. So you're like, you know, A word, add something to the grocery. No, stop. Cancel. Stop it.
Yeah. And then there's that time Nick ordered a ton of toilet paper as a joke. He thought that was hilarious. Yeah. We ended up using it, though. It was funny because we didn't send it back. I think we got it, put it in storage. And then when the toilet paper shortage happened, we had a bunch of extra toilet paper. We did good. So Nick's joke turned into, you know, sometimes, what do you call it? You turn water into wine? No.
Yeah. That's what the Catholics do, I think.
You turn mud into Nutella? I don't know how it works. But anyway, that's
the grapefruit into something.
Nailed it. What was I thinking? Nailed it. All right. I think Brian might be ready for us to call. Yep, he is. So we're going to add him to this, and then we'll continue on our way. He is in Anaheim, California, in line for something. And we're going to find out what and where and what the hell's going on right now. Okay, this should work. He may even be able to send us video that we'll see in Discord, and then I'll show it to the chat if he has enough bandwidth. I don't know. Yes, we're looking for a Brian Ibbett. Is there a Brian Ibbett there?
Oh, there is a Brian Ibbett here. Hello.
Oh, look. You do have video. Look at this. Look at this.
That's right.
Look at you. Ooh, he's in Star Wars town land.
Can you see what's behind me? Let's turn sideways. Maybe that helps.
Perfect. That's perfect. That's the Millennium Falcon, as far as I can tell.
It is the aluminum Falcon. Yes.
That's awesome.
Do you say Falcon? Do you say Falcon or Falcon?
Falcon. I say both. It's like data and data.
Yeah.
It depends on what my mood is.
Now, would one of the employees or Gary or somebody there like chew you out for saying it wrong? Is there any kind of big, like, hard rules there about how you say Falcon or Falcon?
Gary wore his Star Trek shirt that's done the Star Wars logo. So it says Star Trek, but it's in the Star Wars logo.
Oh, yeah.
So Gary can't chew anybody out for anything as far as I'm concerned.
That's awesome. You don't look, it doesn't look crazy busy. It looks kind of
It's not. It's actually really nice. I've got my green milk here, a warm green milk from a teat of a walrus on Octo.
Nice. Oh, you remember the plant. Look at you. Gosh dang it.
Yeah, I did. I squeezed the teat myself and,
wow.
And then got some in my mustache.
Well, that's fantastic.
Just like Luke.
So
let's see if I can find Chewbacca was here a minute ago, and I had him almost all to myself. If your internet would have been good this morning, on time,
gosh dang,
then we would have had a special guest, Chewbacca.
Yeah, sorry about that, stupid internet.
No,
it's okay. Just glad it worked, okay. And you're coming through like crystal here. This is great.
Cool.
Yeah,
good internet. Here's Og's Cantina. This is the cantina that I sent you photos from.
Oh yeah, explain this. Day. They do alcohol now, right?
They do alcohol now, yes, and lots of it. Like, there's about, I don't know, 5 or 6 places now in Disney and California Adventure where you can day drink, get completely blasted, and then puke on the person in front of you on California Screaming.
Nice. That's great. That's what you want in a park-going experience.
Look at that. I wonder who lives up there.
Oh, yeah, dude. Like a sand person or something. Something's going on up there.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Or whatever be called. I forget. Are those blaster marks on the wall? Is that what that's supposed to be behind you?
Probably. Yeah. Oh, yeah, right up there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm pointing like that. Like, that helps.
Can you speak to the authenticity of this stuff? Like, that's the other thing that really impressed me from your photos. Does everything look legit?
It is absolutely amazing. So I was talking to everybody that we had the TMS meetup last night. I'll tell you about that in a second. But I was saying what I thought was really amazing about this place is that it's not made up to look like Star Wars land. It's made up to look like a planet that would exist in the canon of the movies. So in other words, like when you look at a trash can, there's like a trash can right there.
Yeah.
You can see one off in the distance.
It's like a little droid or something. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, but it's not made to look like an R2-D2, like an R2 unit, right, which is what I think other amusement parks might do, like a really cheap thing, like, oh, make it look like an R2 unit.
Yeah.
It looks like a trash can you'd find on a distant planet. Check this out. There's like all these things like, oh, that says crew only. I was going to say, I could probably sneak back there. Let's see what's back there. But then I saw the sign that says crew only. Let me see what I can find here.
Crap, I really wish you hadn't seen crew only. That would have been great.
I know, it would have been great. Let's get tackled by the
get that on camera, baby.
The Disney employees. So there's like a
bounty hunter after you.
Kylo Ren's shuttle back there.
Oh yeah, look at that. That's the coolest ship in the new movies. I love that thing.
Yeah.
But okay, so here's a good example. Like, here's just some random stuff on the wall and a weird little sort of energy device or little...
looks like a radiator.
Yeah.
Radiator-looking thing. It's even making noise. Yeah, there's like a little speaker in it, and it's just making noise. And it, who knows what it does?
Oh, nobody. Nobody knows what it does. See, I love that kind of... That's my favorite kind of thing about Star Wars in general. Like, when they started making things too clean in the prequels, I got pissed because I like the scruff and the gruff and the gritty details and stuff, and that seems like this place is full of that.
But just like you said, who knows what it does? It might actually do something, and they just dressed it up.
It might. And there's actually, like, if you get the app, so there's a Disneyland app, there's all of these, let me find one here. That's actually right next to the men's room, so I'm not going to do that one. There's one right over here.
Yeah, that'll get you, get you sent to the home office on Main Street there, if you're not careful.
All right, so right here is a little security panel, right?
Nice.
Right here at another employees-only door. But if you get the app, you can actually interact with these things. Go around, and while you're waiting in line or while you're waiting for something, your mom's in the bathroom or something, you go around and turn them all to resistance. To turn them all from red to blue.
No way. That's cool.
That's cool. Yeah.
Are there I know this is a dumb question, but are there Pokemon inside the park there where you are?
Oh, yeah, tons. I mean, there's Pokemon everywhere. Okay. But it's... there are gyms aplenty here, and so I've actually been catching, like doing raids. And then because I'm waiting in line, it's like, all right, well, let's just, you know, catch something.
Yeah.
And, well, that might be kind of noisy here. So not I'm catching bad. Something, and then I name it after whatever that area is. So I have a Heracross named Chippendale because it's by the Chippendale tree.
Yeah. Not the strippers, but the chipmunks.
Not the stripper.
Yeah,
the Chip and Dale tree.
Yeah.
So no, here's where here. That's where Chewbacca was at the top of that thing.
Because
everything is social distance, right? So he won't be down here with the hoi polloi getting sick. He's up there on his little platform waving down to everybody.
Yeah, making himself sick in a suit that stinks and makes him human and dehydrated. Right,
check this out. There's some land speeders.
Oh.
And a...
that's cool.
And it's like, you know, you can't see what's making it hover.
Oh, really?
Like
it's,
that's so
it's
cool.
Off the ground, but you can't see.
It's probably it might be that hose. Pipe. Yeah, that hose is meant to look loose and not stiff, but it's probably what's holding it up. That's so like cool, dude.
Fix-it droid back there.
You ever feel like just jumping the fence and like getting right up in all that stuff?
It's amazing. It's like, you know, there's only two rides in this whole area, in this whole Star Wars themed area, but I could spend half the day here just checking everything out. Yeah. There's another random door. Just to nowhere, who knows?
Yeah. I like, it's like a, what do you call it? It's world buildy to have that stuff all over the place like that, you know?
Yeah. By the way, speaking of the Pokemon thing, so naturally I've got that little device that automatically spins Pokestops for me, so I got it turned on while I walk around here, so it's always getting me
a little,
you know,
buzz.
Balls and potions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I come in, and you have to go through a metal detector on your way in. And but you're not allowed to bring vape pens or anything into Disneyland. Yeah. No vaping here.
Yeah.
So they look down at my little Pokemon spinner thing. They say, is that a vape pen? And I said, oh, no, it's a phone charger, because it does actually have a battery and charge your phone. And it's a Pokemon catcher. And they go, oh. Like, that's worse than a vape pen.
Yeah, I imagine they probably thought you were lying or something, right? Or trying to tell a story.
No, I think they actually genuinely believed me.
Oh, that's funny. That's great.
Check out this whole bizarre area. So this is what's really cool about this. Well, so like they've got like this little bazaar with stands and stuff like that.
T-shirts like you have in Star Wars.
Yeah. T-shirt, yeah, exactly, yeah. So okay, so you can't completely, you know.
It's not gonna be all robes.
But I mean, even like inside here, you've got a cage with some weird sleeping creature in it.
Oh, that's cool. Those aren't porgs,
and
right?
And it moves, and yeah, they have tons of porgs. Look at all those porgs.
Oh, there's porgs for days, and the little what's his name, Salacious.
Porgs are playing. Actually, every critter from the movies you could possibly imagine.
Yeah. Do they have the, what's this? I think I saw him. Salacious Turd or whatever his name is. The little.
Oh, yeah. So Salacious Crumb. So let's check this one out. So this one, this guy sits on your shoulder.
Yeah.
And has a little hydraulic button system that you keep in your pocket, and you make his head turn and his ears move and his mouth open and stuff like that. So he sits on your shoulder and just, like, you know,
oh wow,
provides,
I need one of those.
Provides visual commentary for
a bunch of people in the chat want to know if you're wearing any sort of sunscreen today. They want you to be safe with the sunscreen.
Yes, I'm wearing 70 SPF.
All right, good.
Yes, absolutely.
Good. That seems good.
I slathered that stuff on. As a matter of fact, I forgot to completely rub it in this morning.
Yeah.
That's what she said. I went out to Starbucks, got a drink, got a coffee, and then came back to the room and looked in the mirror, and I had a huge white glob of sunscreen, like, down my nose.
Oh, my gosh.
That I didn't rub in. And nobody told me. The people at Starbucks, you know, just said, whatever.
It's like
figure it out.
There's something about Mary moment for you there. That's pretty good.
Yes, kind of. Yeah, exactly.
So now this part you're at right now, this looks familiar to me. This is out. Is this outside where the thing enters? This is where you start?
Sort of,
what?
Yeah. So we're close to, well, there's a cool little, Jabba the Hutt door looking thing.
That's cool.
I want to bang on it and see if, like, something sticks its head out.
Yeah, the ball with a stick will come out and go, Akuta or whatever. That'll be amazing.
Yes. Very Let me cool. set my drink down. It does open. There are, it's probably, like, for vehicles or something.
Is that... Oh my gosh, he banged on it. Did that happen? Let me ask you this.
The play is probably going to come out and be.
Yeah, he's like, are those nuggets here? What the hell? We thought we were getting nuggets. How's the food and stuff in that zone? Like, is it edible? Like, what do you do there for food?
Well, I'm drinking green milk right now. Oh, yeah, I mentioned that. Yeah, I mean, they keep it, you know, it's stuff like. Bantha bites and Corellian space fries or something like that. I mean, there are a few things that they're not going to be able to completely world build with food and drink and stuff like that. But
sure, is the drink you're drinking? It's not spiked. It's just whatever they're.
No. This is a virgin green milk. It's like a it's coconut milk with like star fruit or something.
Oh. Okay.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Milk is like a blue raspberry coconut milk, and that's also really good. It's like a frozen blended.
Oh, it's like from
drink.
From Aunt Veru herself. Did you feel does that drink give you a little bit of no?
No, the coconut milk doesn't. If it were real milk, then I'd be clearing the lines. then I'd be maintaining that 6 foot. Distance from everybody. That's a funny thing. So they're really strict about, like, you walk into right now I don't have my mask on, obviously. It's the only time today I probably won't have my mask on. But you walk into any here's a cool little outpost thing back there.
Oh, that's cool.
That's the entrance to the Rise of the Resistance, right? I'll talk about that tomorrow on the show. But you walk into any vendor or restaurant or anything and they say, hey, please put your mask on. When you're indoors, you're supposed to have a mask on. Dang, look at the size of that thing. Did you see that?
No, aim it again.
It's a huge-ass bug. Oh, it just flew by, but it was like...
It's a drone.
It was huge.
There are no such things as bugs.
Drone.
It's always
like
drones.
It's like a Disney drone or something.
Yeah. Sir, put your blue milk away, sir. Like that.
That's right. Yeah. But, oops, I went vertical. Hold on. There we go.
There you go.
That was fun, so they do that. But then when you go on a ride, especially an indoor ride, they say, oh, please put your mask on. Let me know if it gets too loud right here. There's a lot of spaceship noise.
You're good. You're good.
Okay. So when you go into a ride, they say, oh, come forward. Please fill up all the available space. So we go from, okay, wear your mask, practice good social distancing, except for right now in Haunted Mansion when we want to pack the elevator.
Yeah, they want to pack you in when they can, but they want to do the rules when they have to, right? That's kind of the deal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
how did the meetup go, right? By the way? Oh yeah, look at that.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. So we had probably about a dozen of us. I'm gonna forget some people's names. So, but like. Gary and Leslie and Kathy Hopkins and Tom and not Tom Merritt. Tom Merritt couldn't make it.
Yeah.
But it was a good group. We had about a dozen of us, and we took over a small area by the Tiki Bar, and had a great time. Pretty much had this whole area, had a whole area to ourselves.
It looked great. You guys were it's up on Facebook if anybody wants to see it. It's up in the Tadpole group, so you can go see everybody hanging out. Brian's shirt was very loud, and
it was very loud. There's another loud one, but there's no hidden.
There's no hidden meaning or anything.
Like, no Marvel or Star Wars stuff in this one. This is just.
Could you apply your own meaning to it, like your own special meaning?
I could. I mean, I've got Gamora, and then there's a little poo on my shirt.
Oh, he got some poo on his shirt.
There's some poo on my shirt.
That's adorable. Bobby, did you have any questions for Brian? I've been kind of hogging the mic here. Do you have anything you want to ask?
It looks a lot bigger than I thought it would. The whole area.
Yeah.
The Star Wars area is massive. It's, I would say, for a place that's only got two rides, I'd say it might be the largest land of the park.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Adventureland, I guess, is pretty big. Frontierland. I mean, if you count what remains of Tom Sawyer's Island and stuff like that, this took up a lot of some of that Frontierland area. Mm-hmm. But this feels like the biggest land in the park to me.
I remember when they were working on it, and I remember being there when they were, like, you know, physically building it and thinking that it looked like a giant space. Like, it was just going to be enormous and never done. But I guess that finally happened. It's done.
Yeah, as compared to Marvel, the Marvel area across the way over in California Adventure, which is a lot smaller than this, and probably is the smallest area over there at California Adventure.
Because they just took up the Bugs Life thing. Yeah,
they took out the Bugs Life, which wasn't very big to begin with. There were, you know, maybe three Bugs Life rides and an interactive movie theater thing.
Yeah. It's the only ride that made my wife sick. Kim got sick on that one ride where it just does the swing out and then the kind of crossover swing, whatever that was. It's the only ride in Disneyland that made her sick for whatever reason. Yeah. She gets motion sick. Thanks, Bugs Life. You're great. you were about to get on something when we hung up yesterday. What ride was it? Was it the Tower of Terror?
Oh, it was the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. So it's what used to be the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror reskinned. It's the only thing I've ridden multiple times on this visit. I did that thing three times yesterday. Got a different song every time. It's easily my favorite ride in the park.
Yeah, you know, I forgot that the music part that they do is probably a giant draw for you, just from, you know.
It is, because it's, you know, it's all the awesome stuff, but it's also, it changes what the ride does, so it's a different experience. You get different visuals with the cast, and even the order of the drops changes, because it's not just one drop, it's like drop and then rise and then drop and then rise.
Don't you think it'd be better if it was named Groot Shoot? Wouldn't that be better?
The Groot Shoot.
Yeah, the Groot Shoot. Go see, down Groot Shoot.
That would be the equivalent of making your trash can look like R2-D2.
That's a fair point. All right, well, I'm stoked for tomorrow because you'll be back and we'll get to hear about everything that happens
today.
Yeah,
I'll have a bunch of stories.
Yeah, it'll be great. And you seem like you're just having a great time. Okay, here's something that Mitzula said, and it seems like you would agree, and I think I'm kind of going down this path too. Solo trip to Disneyland might be the best way to go. Like,
yes and no.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I'm on a ride, I'm like, oh, I wish Tristan or Tina were here. But there is absolutely something to that. There's something to be said for, you know what? I feel like Haunted Mansion. Boom, let's go to Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
And you don't have to wait for somebody to go to the bathroom or like, well, no, I want to climb the Tarzan treehouse or some garbage like that.
Right. Or if you're like, man, I just rode that too many times. I'm a little queasy. You get to take time out, but you're not making anyone else wait. So it's this nice thing. Yeah, I think that sounds all right. All right. Well, tomorrow we'll go into major depth on what happens today and all that. But I'm glad you're having fun, man. It looks like a blast.
Yeah, definitely having a blast. I needed this. I needed this trip.
Yeah. Sometimes you need a trip, you know? Oh, you got to get the H out.
Look at me. I'm just glowing from the from all the sunscreen I applied. It says it's 75 degrees out here, and it feels like it's 98 Colorado degrees.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a little more humid, right? You got the humidity there a little bit.
Right.
not right. too bad a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Brian, be safe.
Cool.
And keep your GoPro in your pants or whatever. I don't know what that means. We'll see
Thanks,
you tomorrow.
Scott. Thanks.
Well, there he goes. Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
Look at that. You guys just got a VIP walkthrough of Star Wars Town Land. Wait, what's it called?
He convinced me to do that that Guardians of the Galaxy ride because I also don't like drop rides.
Yeah, I don't either.
Like he said he doesn't, but he said he likes that a lot.
Yeah, I think that one is a cut above given the theming and everything. That'd be great. They should now make Six Flags or whoever should make an equivalent since James Gunn made the new Suicide Squad. They should make an equivalent of that ride, but have more blood and swears in it. That's what they should do.
Yeah, they can call it the Suicide Ride.
Yeah, hey, look at that. It rhymed and everything. Oh, I don't know if that would go over well. Suicide Ride seems bad, maybe, from a PR perspective. Anyway, hey, we need your help, listeners. Why? Because I'm doing something. The other day I was thinking, man, I could just make this up on my own again, or me and Brian could like put our heads together and come up with it. But then I thought, it might be fun to get ideas from the listeners. What am I talking about? Well, our new mug. We're making a new one. And we always have these mugs for like big points in the show. The last one we did was for episode 200 or 2000. So the TMS mug that went out says TMS, the Morning Stream 2000 plus established 2011 on one side. On the other side, it said, I can definitely see why you like it. So we used one of our meanie lines that we've had on the show. So we need a new mug. And I've made a form to take your concepts and ideas and put them on the web. Super simple. Really, really easy. Here's the website, frogpants.com/mug. I couldn't have made it more simple. frogpants.com/mug is the address. Chad, I'm going to give that to you right now. I just copied it. We're going to paste it. For those at home, just go to frogpants.com/mug and enter anything you think would be good. Funny, referential to the show, preferably. Doesn't have to be, though. If it's something you've just come up with, we'll consider it. We just want to include your ideas with ours. And if we choose one of you, the person who got it that we picked will get one of these mugs for free anyway, just for their time. And everyone else who did it and didn't win will get precisely nothing. Okay? That's how it'll work.
I'll give you guys a free one. Anybody can put this one in. It should say, I like coffee beans.
That's not bad. See? Look, Bobby's already got a better idea than I've even had so far. So be quick about it. Well, you don't have to be that quick. There's no limit on this. I think we'll probably just look at them in a couple of weeks and decide. But we want to get these going, get them up on the store. It's one of our favorite things, and a lot of people really like these mugs. And they're all asking, hey, when's the next big thing happening? Well, I can tell you, we're at 2158. We were thinking about a 2200 as the commemorative number. But on the back, it matters what we say, man. Mm-hmm. You can enter more than once if you want. Just refresh the page after you're done. It'll give you more options or more times if you want to do it. I'm not really set up to take more than one during the first entry, but as Kit Lennon asked in the chat, can you do it only once? No. You can do it as many times as you want. All right. Head on over to frogpants.com/mug. All right, Bobby. How'd your no kid vacation adventure business go?
Oh, yeah. So, this weekend we dropped the kids off at the grandparents' house right before they're about to start school. And we were like, we're gonna send them away for a week and have, for the first time in forever, some time to ourselves.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Which is good. Which is great for me because it's kind of like kicking off my youngest daughter's 5, and so she's starting kindergarten, so she hasn't been in school yet. So this is the first time since my 8-year-old was born that I will have any time free, like on a regular basis during the first half of every day because they're both in school now. And so this, we sent them away for a week to sort of like kick off. It's not really for that reason. We're not just trying to get rid of our kids.
I totally feel you. I get it. It's easy for it to sound like that, but I know exactly what you're saying. It's awesome.
Well, we were already. Well, of course, we do like to have time to ourselves, but we were already planning on going to Gen Con during this week, which is in beginning of August every year. But then, of course, know,
what is happening with
the virus
Gen Con this
got
year?
Bad again.
Is it? Is there? They're not doing it because of that, or what?
Are doing it, but we're sure as hell not going.
Yeah,
they are.
I've got too many friends with like kids under 12 that are in hospitals or in on stuff right now, and that Delta thing seems like it doesn't care how old you are. That thing's bad.
Yeah, it's not giving a lot of. Doesn't give a crap for your vaccines, it seems.
No.
But yeah, so we kicked it off by spending a weekend in Charleston, downtown Charleston in South Carolina here, and we like to go to fancy stuff. We splurge and stay at like really fancy hotels and go to fancy restaurants when we go on vacation and everything. And the first night while we were waiting there, we went to this like five-star restaurant. They had this, I looked at the dessert menu when we were done, they had this, to give you a sense of the type of restaurant we were at, they had this shot of, you could buy with your dessert, a shot of cognac. Louis the 13th cognac.
Ooh.
It's $280 a shot of alcohol.
Yeah, no is the answer, is no.
I asked the waiter if anybody ever gets it, and they said usually once a night, which is
really
way more than I thought.
Yeah, I would have thought that was like, you know, oh, this is a rare Kobe beef cut that's from the first cow ever made, and it's $3,000 an ounce, and it's like once a year a billionaire will buy it or something.
Yeah, but, they did have a Wagyu steak on special that they tried to sell us. It was like $200 or something.
That's so good though, man. Oh man, it's good.
I bet it would have been, but we like to splurge, but not that much.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's you can actually get some steak. Pretty good Wagyu beef on your own and cook it. Make your own.
Yeah. Yeah. I had duck for the first time. That was really good.
Yeah, duck is oily but pretty good.
Yeah.
I always found it to be when I was younger off-putting because it was like eating greased up chicken or something.
Yeah.
And then I have a better taste for it.
It's like really, it's like not fatty in the way that you would chew up. Like there's not like chunks of fat that you're chewing up, but really fatty and moist dark meat, like darker than the dark meat chicken you have.
Like a really good dark meat turkey that's been brined for a day. Like where you've really just like softened the meat up with some kind of goo, you know?
Right.
This is not a culinary term I'm using here, but you know what I mean. And it is very rich. Red Fraggle's right. It's like a very, very flavory meat.
So we were there, and our reservation was at 9:50. We couldn't get anything earlier. We had to wait till 9:15 to eat. And we're old people now, so
yeah, you gotta
eat. We like to eat at like 5.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. I feel you.
So,
I do that.
So we were like, man, that's going to be late. We got to go somewhere and like pregame our dinner. we went to some other restaurant and got an appetizer and had I was like, well, it's a long time till dinner, I'm gonna have a couple of beers. So I got and I was on an empty stomach, so I was kind of a little tipsy when I got to the restaurant. Which was that's a different story, but it turned out to be a bad idea because I didn't have a great night. But at some point, I was like, well, we'll just have like a glass of wine. And then my wife convinced me to get us a whole bottle. So it was a whole thing.
Sounds like a party, man. Woo.
Yeah. I went to go to the bathroom. And you know, I already have like a social anxiety issue. Okay?
Sure, sure.
And so COVID has made, for me and many people, has made that kind of worse.
Oh, you know? Jacked it way up for people with social anxiety.
Yeah. So I went to the bathroom and it was empty and I was like, good, okay, fine. I'm just going to go to the bathroom. I was at the urinal and some guy, there's two urinals. Look at me telling a bathroom story on TMS. This has never happened before.
Hey, someone just called you a kid, by the way, in the chat room. I like that. That must be cool. Look at this. He says, just figured out why this kid looks familiar. He resembles a young George Lucas.
I get that a lot, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, you do, actually. You could do it. You could put on some plaid. You're wearing plaid now. So
yeah,
all you got to do is show up somewhere. I don't know. You don't have to do much. And just talk, change your voice and go, yeah, so what do you think about it? Like that. You got to go like that.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway,
that's what I'll do when I go to Star Wars land, is I'll cosplay as George Lucas.
That'd be amazing. Except people will be like, wait, that's him in the 70s. Where is he now? Where's the waddle? Anyway,
yeah.
Sorry, we interrupted. You were down.
So, yeah, so I'm in the bathroom, and some person comes in, and they're standing behind me. There's two urinals, but they're standing behind me waiting. I guess they were waiting. I guess they were social distancing is my
sure,
guess.
Sure.
Like they didn't want to stand next to me, which is fine. That's great. But I started to get like that anxiety dread because there's somebody like standing behind me.
Like you're trying to like you feel like you got to hurry now because there's somebody waiting.
Yeah, exactly.
Watching.
So I'm like, OK, I'm going to finish up. I'm going to go. And so like I'm already like, oh, God, what's going on? Why is he standing behind me? OK, he's probably doing this. But was he watching me pee? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so I go to the sink. I'm washing my hands like you do. And then he comes up to the sink. So I'm like, OK, I got to get out of here because this person, I don't know if this is what's going on. This is drunk anxiety brain, by the way.
Sure,
so you got to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
I go to wash my hands, and this is a fancy restaurant. They don't have like the blow dryers, you know, mm-hmm. like you don't have any of that at one of these places. So
sure.
I'm looking around for a towel or something. So I grab the first thing I see right in front of me, and it turns out to be a tissue box.
Oh, I was afraid you were going to say it's some guy's t-shirt standing next to me. Oops.
No, but if you've ever tried to dry your hands with a tissue, it doesn't work.
No, it's a nightmare. No, it's bad.
It's lint and fragments of tissue everywhere.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hold a lot of water. So I had to, instead of like, once I realized that, instead of looking around for a proper, you know, like hand drying implement, I realized, oh, I just grabbed a tissue. I washed my hands. This guy who's been watching me the whole time saw me do such a dumb thing. And instead of correcting the behavior, I committed. I was like, I'm just going to grab all
go all in.
So I just acted like, this is just what I do.
Yeah.
I just dry my hands with tissues. So I just like started grabbing more and more and more. I had like six or seven tissues by the end of it. I'm drying my hand. There's like, it's turned into like a soggy, sopping wet mess in my hands, you know?
Yeah.
And I turn around and I just kind of like look at him and I go, hey, how's it going? And I drop it into the trash can and I walk out.
That's great. That's great. I feel like we've all been there in some form or another, but TBZ Gone says it best. You commit to the bit. Well done.
That's exactly. I learned from ANTP to commit to the bit.
Always commit to the bit. Well,
but also this weekend, the other great thing that happened this weekend was I got to fly a plane.
Whoa. Shut up.
Yeah.
Like a plane, like sitting in the cockpit and like flying an actual aerodynamic
plane?
Yeah,
it was like a 4-seater aeroplane.
What? Did you really? How did this happen?
Yeah. So I've been playing a lot of Microsoft Flight Simulator lately. Well, I've always been that's a weird way to start this story.
Sure. Then you're qualified. Really... You're automatically qualified. You've been playing Microsoft Flight Simulator on an Xbox or a PC.
So
congratulations.
I told a pilot that I met randomly, I've been playing Microsoft Flight Simulator. He said, here you go. Here's the keys to my plane.
Yeah. I work for Delta. No, you now have a job. Welcome to the company. Exactly.
Right. All right. I've always wanted to learn how to fly. And so I've been, and Microsoft Flight Simulator, by all accounts, is a very good simulation. I now know that that's true. A friend of mine who we're going to see this weekend, her boyfriend is a pilot. He has been since he was a really long time, since he was young.
Sure.
I've only met this guy once, but she's an old high school friend of mine. So we've known her for a really long time.
Mm.
And I was just joking with her. I was like, hey, is Will going to be there? That's his name. I said, is Will going to be there? Because I've been playing a lot of Microsoft Flight Simulator. I got questions for him. Like, I want to annoy him with some questions. That's what I told her. And I guess she thought that was funny and screenshotted our conversation and sent it to him. And then she said to me, hey, I sent him what you told me. And he said, I should take Bobby up in the plane.
Mm.
And I was like, wow, that's amazing. But I just figured he's going to fly me. We're going to get in his plane.
Sure.
And we're going to go for a flight around the Charleston Harbor area. And that'll be fun. So that's what I'm there
for.
Lovely.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So me and him and Stephanie, my wife, and our friend, we all get in the plane and we're up there and he takes off. He's telling me all about the instruments and what you look for and how you do everything. You know, like, oh, you got to use these rudder pedals to brake and, you know, you check your heading, you know, all the things. And so he takes off and we get up to altitude. And then it's not one of these planes that has a co-pilot. Like, you're sitting next to each other, but in a plane where there's an intended co-pilot, usually you have two yokes, one for each person. This one doesn't have that because it's not, it's more intended just to take passengers and stuff.
Mm.
So he's got one. But what I didn't realize was that you can, it's going to be hard to describe this, but you can like swivel it around to the other side, to the person sitting next to you. And I didn't know that. So we're up there and he gets up to altitude, he levels it out, and then he just like unlocks it, flips it over to me, and he's like, here you go.
Holy shit.
And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I panicked for a second because I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And so then I start flying it, and I, at first I thought like he was just going to, I just figured he's like, here, you can hold the yoke and keep us level and pretend like you're flying. Mm-hmm. I kind of figured it was going to be that, but no, for like 25 or 30 minutes, he let me fly all the way around and turn and climb and descend and all this kind of stuff.
Do you have the bug now? Do you feel like you want to, like, I don't know, go
all in? Absolutely. I already started, this is true, I already started like looking up planes for sale and sending pictures, screenshots to my wife, like, hey, look, this one's only, you know, $50,000.
Wow. That's fantastic, and, dude. Very cool. Yeah. I've never had anything close to that.
It was probably the highlight of my, I don't know how many years. It was amazing. But I've any doubt that I had about wanting to take lessons to become a, like, get a private pilot's license, they were dashed. Like, I am on that track. Eventually, I will be.
Oh, that's pilot. Super interesting.
I've decided.
My brother used to do this. My older brother, Mark, used to fly small planes and had like all the, he was doing all the classes and then had like the early license stuff where you could do certain amounts of time, but you had somebody with you or whatever. And then at some point, he just stopped doing that and instead now rides in those little, like, it's like a chair attached to a hang glider with a motor. What are those called?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And there's, and a lot of places they're illegal. You have to, you know, no ultralights. Is that what they're called? Gyrocopters?
Yeah. Like, and you don't need a pilot's license for ultralights, I don't think.
Yeah. So he just suddenly just went all in on that and gave up on the pilot thing. And I think it was because he was like, all right, this is really expensive that I'm doing over here. And all I really care about is getting in the air and hanging out and around up there. So I'll just do this weird thing over here that somebody could shoot me out of the sky with their freaking pellet gun. And I'll go do that.
It is very expensive.
Yeah. He loves that stuff. There's a place here you can do it, but you have to be really careful because just over a little bit further toward town, it's suddenly illegal. Like there's some kind of dividing line. I don't know what it is. A county thing. And as soon as you cross it, you're like in huge trouble. But if you don't cross it, you're totally fine. They don't care.
Is it because of a military base or something?
I don't know, actually. It's really weird. Or it's some kind of ordinance. Maybe it's a noise ordinance because you're starting to get into these very rich neighborhoods on that end of the valley. It could be that. I don't know. It seems like money makes things happen. It's the one where famously this local dingus who used to sell computers, his name was Dale Chonzi. We've told whole stories about this dude on the show before, but the short of it was he's a total weenie. But he was up in the air one of these days with this thing and he saw some eagle or something and decided to ram it and punch it.
And and
it turns out that bird is like super protected, like major, what do you call it, on the list, the extinction list? No, the preserve, whatever it is. So he got in huge trouble for that and then fought it. He's a total psycho. He's got too many guns. People should have him on a list. They probably do. Anyway, so there's that. That's a fun story, and I'm glad you're a pilot now. Congratulations. Welcome to the United Family.
A pilot.
Yeah.
On your next Southwest flight, check for me in the cockpit.
And then listen to the news. Hey, we're going to do some news. It's brought to you by Bobby's Science Show, which I thought I'd let Bobby talk about real quick so people can learn more about it if you haven't heard about it. Bobby, tell me all about all-around science.
Yeah, you know, if you are a fan of science, or even if you have just what I would call a cocktail party interest in things science-y, we talk about science every week, and we try to do it in a way that is not pejorative. Mm-hmm. Is the word pejorative in and of itself?
No.
Like, is it making...
I think it hasn't yet crossed that. I think you're safe. I think you're good.
we like to do it in a way that's not... that doesn't talk down to people, and we really like people to understand what we're talking about and just understand science, even the basic stuff, and we just get really excited about it. Every week we talk about some news and some other thing. This past Monday we talked about neurotransmitters. We probably got some things wrong because we are not expert scientists, so people who, you know, listen and email us and tell us how we got it wrong. But we talk about neurotransmitters in this last episode, and we talk about COVID every once in a while, and all kinds of things that are going on in science. So
I'm sorry, I gotta give a shout out to Sidian, who sometimes says the funniest things in our chat. He says, "Science is an affront to the Sky Wizard," is my favorite line I've heard all day. That's great.
That is.
Thank
that
you,
is.
Sidian. Well, awesome. Go check it out. It's, of course, at allaroundscience.com. Right. I just showed the chat room what that looks like, and you can go check it out today. All right, let's get through a couple of these stories here today. This is a weird one. I don't know why I chose this. Hey, whatever. They're all kind of science related today, so sort of. So here's this one.
I think I know exactly why you picked this one.
So I really don't know, but a man learned that he could suck water up into his anus and then turned it into a career. Now, this isn't recent, all right? This is something from a while ago. We'll get to that. In Spider-Man, for example, a young Peter Parker is given superpowers by a radioactive spider bite and decides to fight crime. In Daredevil, okay, a little comic history, a young Matt Murdock gets covered in radioactive material and develops supersonic senses, also deciding to fight crime. In the 19th century France, a young Joseph Pujol, I don't know how he said, was taking a swim when he realized he could inhale vast amounts of water through his anus. Eventually, I have a great clip with that. Where is that? Hold on. Sorry, it just reminded me of it, and now I'm going to play it because it makes me laugh. Not the anus is a useful thing indeed, although we could do that. Here it is.
You waxed your anus.
No, that's not it.
If I had an anus.
No.
This is your anus.
There you go, anus. There it is. Yeah. How about
you, anus?
All right, I have a lot of those. Anyway, big shock. Scott's got a bunch of anus clips. so he did this, and then he realized he could do it, and then eventually he turned it into a hit stage show at the Moulin Rouge under the name Les Petomane, which is the Fartomatic, if you translate it. That's pretty great.
It every word of this opening paragraph gets better and better.
Yeah, it's really well written. We don't always get these on the show. It's extremely well written. This is on ifscience.com, by the way. IFL Science, not If Science. He was born in 1857. He discovered his superpower a little bit later in school at the age of 10. He didn't like water back then. But then the boy mentioned the incident to his family because he was leaking water. they told him it was nothing to be concerned about and didn't contact the Avengers, says this writer. For a time, he forgot his skill. Years later, however, he recounted the antidote to his friends, the French army. He decided to try it once more with his friends gathered around, presumably resigned to the fact that the dinner party didn't quite have the original classy tone that they had intended. He placed his anus below the surface of some water and sucked it all in. The rest is history. He made himself a great stage show, and it's an amazing story. Now, the Moulin Rouge didn't have this reference in the film, did they? They didn't talk about
it. I don't remember that part of Moulin Rouge where they were squirting water out of anuses, bringing in like the kiddie pool so that you could.
And I love that movie.
Dip your butt in.
Huge fan of Moulin Rouge. No, zero complaints for me about that film. But it does seem like they missed an opportunity if they didn't talk to have the anus sucker on display at some point. But they didn't do it.
Yeah, no kidding. So part of the article says that he actually he was concerned about it and went to the doctor. And I just wonder and like mentioned this. And I just think about like when you go to the doctor, you know, and you're waiting for the doctor, the nurse is in there first, and they're like. The nurse always says, like, okay, well, do you have any questions for the doctor?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, now that you mention it.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, I'm holding 2 gallons of water right now, and I'd really like to discuss it.
Yeah, it said 2 liters, a 2-liter bottle of soda.
Yeah.
This guy could suck into his butt.
Yeah, less of a colon, more of a condominium, if you know what I'm saying. All right, moving on. Hey, let's do this story about iPads. I like this. Britney Spears, you know, Hit Me Baby One More Time and all that. You know who she is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She just bought her first ever iPad, and she's super stoked about it. Now, you might say, what? That's weird. She's a loaded singer. Why? What do you mean? You know, why is this even a story? Well, it's a story because she's not allowed to buy her own stuff. Britney Spears
This is a kind of funny, weird, lighthearted story with a really dark underbelly.
Yeah, that conservatorship stuff is shitty, man. Like,
yeah,
it's bad, and I don't understand how it's at all legal at all.
Well, the reason, I don't know how it's legal in her case, but the reason that it exists in California, I don't know what other states have things like this, but the reason it exists in California is for people who might have dementia or some other thing, some other situation where you would be concerned about them making decisions on their own because they're not of the right state of mind or something like that. And you can imagine, like, someone in late stages of dementia, being concerned about
that. I could see that. This is effed. This is like loophole city, man. Like I get it if somebody, let's say, like you just described, somebody's in their 80s, they're in late stage dementia, they can't control any of the stuff they have to do. You come in and you say, all right, well, my son's going to do it. Or the son says, we have to do this. Like, what else are we going to do? We got to help them. I get it. But this is a guy who clearly just took control of his very talented daughter's career for the money and just held on to it. It's horrendous. It's horrendous.
Right.
And I'm not even like it's easy to see this on the surface and go, rich people and their problems. But it's got far reaching implications, and they can't be the only case. Like, there's no way.
The fact that this can be done at all, and that, because this happened in, 2008, I think, is when this conservatorship started. And so, like, there's been court cases recently. I think it's actually set to end in September, after finally years and years of battling it in court and everything. There's a whole documentary about it now. I haven't seen it.
I didn't watch it either. I felt like I was going to be sad if I did. I didn't.
Yeah, because I know that in South Carolina, for example, you can, and there's lots of states that are like this, you can have somebody committed by the state if they're having like a mental health, an acute mental health problem.
Right.
You might have them committed, sent to wherever, a hospital to deal with that. But this seems like it goes above and beyond that. It's like, not only are you going to be sent to this hospital to be treated against your will because of some acute thing that's happening, but now you don't have any control over anything for more than 10 years now, 13 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. No, I agree. Tally mentions that movie, I Care a Lot, the Netflix movie.
Yeah,
kind of has that. I mean, that's a pretty dark. It's that movie's meant to be funny, but also dark at the same time.
Right.
But it deals with the same idea. It's like having somebody swoop in and just, by the law, take over your shit, but not have to really prove out why or what. It's just effed up, man. I don't like it.
But really, congratulations on your first iPhone.
No, I think that's great, dude. Have a party. Go for it. She has two kids, and they both have them, and she talks in the story about how, you know, she was always jealous, and now she's got one, and hey, that's great. I think that's awesome. Quentin Tarantino in the news. You may know him from such films as Reservoir Dogs, I Like Feet, and other movies.
Yeah.
Hateful Eight. Hateful Eight, and then Toes Are the Best. That's my favorite.
All of those movies you just listed are real, and they exist.
Yeah, the Magic of Feet is his new one. That's still a couple years out though, but watch for that. Right. Anyway,
just started filming.
Quentin Tarantino fulfills his childhood promise of never giving, this kind of related story, never giving his mom a penny from his fortune, not a dime. Here's how this story goes. Quentin Tarantino is keeping a promise he made to himself when he was 12 years old. Hollywood director, who is worth an estimated $120 million, has stuck to his vow of never giving his mother a penny from his fortune after she belittled his writing and filmmaking dreams when he was a kid. The 58-year-old man made the reveal on an episode of Audacity's The Moment podcast. I'm sorry, Odyssey's, not Audacity's. I don't know who that is. Who is that? Odyssey.
It's spelt really stupid.
Yeah, so, I don't like it.
You can't be faulted this time.
Yeah, I feel
it's
like saying audacity,
like audacity just without the IT.
Yeah, it looks like audacity. Misspelled audacity is what that looks like.
Yeah.
Anyway, the moment is the name of the podcast. He recalled being reprimanded for being or for writing screenplays in school. The director told the host, Billions co-creator Brian Koppelman, that his teachers believed that his decision to focus on his writing rather than his schoolwork was a defiant act of rebellion. Well, of course, you'd say that at the time. That's what you do when kids are rebelling. But sometimes
you encourage kids.
Yeah, sometimes they're actually going to be worth $120 million one day. Anyway, says, my mom had always had a hard time with my scholastic non-ability. Boy, this sounds familiar. This was me in high school. I was so bad. Then in the middle of her tirade, she said, oh, and by the way, this little writing career with the finger quotes and everything, this little writing career that you're doing, that shit is effing over, she said. The director recalled being triggered by those words. Boy, that word trigger is very triggering these days.
Yeah, it is a triggering trigger.
Yeah. Let's see. Then or when she said that she meant it in a sarcastic way, I was in my head and I go, okay, lady, then when I become successful writer, you will never see a penny from my success. There'll be no house for you, no vacation for you, no Elvis Cadillac for mom. You get nothing because you said that. And he says he's done it. Now, if
he's
I
clearly
were
matured
him,
since then.
Yeah, clearly a lot of maturation has settled in. I feel like if it were me, I'd rub it in her face plenty, probably, but
sure.
I would try to do it in a fun way, and I would try to forgive and forget and understand that parents don't know everything. Like, it's okay. Just let it go.
Oscars? He's an Oscar winner. How many has?
Oh yeah,
have?
Best director, many nominations, writing screen best screenplay for. Oh geez, let's see, Tarantino Awards. There are many of them. It's a long line of deals. Okay, here we go. You ready? I'll give them to you right now. Nominee 2020 for Best Motion Picture of the Year, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Best Achievement in Directing, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And Best Original Screenplay, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. All of those were nominations. Right. Winner in 2013 for Best Writing Original Screenplay for Django Unchained. He was a nominee in 2010 for Inglourious Basterds, writing, directing, and screenplay. 95 was the winner for writing, screenplay, and direction, screenplay for Pulp Fiction, and a nominee for Best Director for Pulp Fiction, which is, you know, obviously his giant breakout. And then a bunch of, let's see. Oh, he directed an episode of... He directed an episode of CSI... Yeah, CSI that got a nomination for Primetime Emmy. That's cool. I didn't know that. Right. Anyway.
Pops from Klein says, forgive and forget, but belittle along the way. I think that's exactly what you're saying and what I would do too. Like, yeah. Like I asked about the Oscars because I feel like I'd invite mom over and I'd be like dusting the Oscar shelf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, look at all these Oscars that this this terrible non-scholastic abilityed student has to move out of the way and whatever will I do with these? They just collect dust all the time. And...
Yeah, no, I agree. Here's the thing. My opinion is his best movie is Hateful Eight, but no one ever agrees with me. So I can't win that argument with people. I love Hateful Eight.
That's a good
movie. I love it. Man, I love it. And you know what I love even more? I love the way Netflix now has it permanently and broken up into four chunks like a miniseries.
Oh, because they do that?
It's already a long movie. He added in a bunch of cut stuff, director's cut stuff.
Right.
And then they separated it. It's already a long movie. It's like a 3-hour movie, but now it's like a 4-hour miniseries, basically. And
that's
it's
cool.
Perfect in those pieces. Like the way that they bookend it, it's really well done. Damn, it's good. Oh my gosh. Hateful Eight, you guys. It's not for everybody, mind you. But you want to see some, I can't think of his name. He was on Justified. What's wrong with me? Amazing actor. He was Shane on The Shield. Help me.
Not Kurt Russell.
Walton Goggins. There you go. Walton Goggins, who's also in Django Unchained. He's amazing in Hateful Eight. Amazing. Oh, my Lord. I want to watch it right now. All right. that's your news. And a quick note before we get out of here. It's a short day, guys. We don't have no guests today. All right. It's like Monday. Guests are taking a break. We're giving them a little time off, and that's okay because we're about as long as the show runs anyway. Our walkthrough of Disneyland made things seem, you know, this may have seemed short to some of you, but we're literally almost at time. Anyway, I want to remind you about that mug thing. We really want to use you and your concepts and ideas over at frogpants.com/store. That's frogpants.com/store. Or no, that's not right. Why am I telling you that? That's frogpants.com/mug. All right. The other thing I wanted to tell you about is the broken Hearthstone thing is still in full effect. We've gotten a ton already. Right. We already know what the major donations are going to be. We're already fulfilling orders for the merch. We're being fully 100% transparent about this because that's how I want to be with stuff like this. But if you want to give to some great organizations and also get a cool t-shirt in the process, that's what this is about. For example, if you get the No Way Home t-shirt, which features the broken Hearthstone on the chest and the words No Way Home, art by me, you can give your the donated profits from that can go to Black Girls Code, RAIN, or Women in Games International. All three are amazing places to give and help. If you are want to do something serious toward helping people when it deals with sexual assault or violence against women or women in the workplace, these are all amazing places to do it. And we're good. And what's crazy is we're looking at the numbers so far, and it's pretty evenly spaced. Like all three are getting basically a third so far, which is pretty awesome.
Great.
I didn't expect that. And then some people, and I know a few of you have been doing this. You've gone in and done all, you know, gotten a different item and then, you know, did it separately. So each one went to a different organization, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can go find it now. There's t-shirts, stickers, buttons, print, possibly some. We're thinking about doing some mouse mats at one point. I'm not sure when that's going to happen. But anyway, all the profits, 100%, none of it goes to me. All of it goes to these great organizations and is a good cathartic way of dealing with all that Blizzard crap. So if you're interested, go check it out. frogpants.com/store. All right. I think that's it. Bobby, before we go, give the folks another ring-a-ding on where they can find more Bobby. You did great today, by the way. It was really fun.
I had a blast. Thank you for inviting me. I love science. That's what I read about all the time in my free time. And I love explaining science to people and communicating that because it's not as complicated as people think. I mean, it's very complicated, but you can understand it. And that's what we do every week on All Around Science. We talk about science news and just fun science stuff that we're interested in. So check that out.
Yeah.
All Around Science.
If you go find his TikTok account as well. It's very good. I like it.
Yeah, I haven't done anything in that in a while, but I've been on vacation.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you got to take time off. But it'll pop up in my feed. And it's great stuff. Speaking of walking through Disneyland, it's often you walking somewhere. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, walking through the neighborhood, sweaty.
Yeah, because it's humid there. It's freaking South Carolina. It's the devil's armpit. So so watch for that. That's good stuff. That's going to do it for everything. I'm trying to think if there's anything else going on. I do want to thank some patrons for their support, specifically brand new patron Kelly Cook, who just joined yesterday. Kelly Cook, thank you, sir. May have been Tuesday, but thank you so much for joining the pantheon of Patreon supporters who make this show entirely possible. And I mean that without your support, there is no show. So continue to support us if you would. And anyone who hasn't yet, maybe now's your time. Patreon.com/TMS. And what else? Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. Send us your emails. TheMorningStream@gmail.com. Tomorrow, Brian will be back. And we'll hear about his day today and do some other fun stuff. The usual Thursday business happens tomorrow. It'll be a PM this week for patrons. And, oh gosh, when's the days today? I'll be on DTNS today, so if you're watching that, check me out there. Might do a game stream after that if I'm feeling it. And what else? That's it. Core this week should be real good. We got all sorts of stuff coming up. Lots of content. You just can't stop listening to this stuff. Bobby, thanks again. It was really good having you, man. All right, we're out of here. I'm going to play a song on our way out. I picked the dumb covers and mashups this week, and so you heard a mashup of Ghostbusters and the Beastie Boys earlier this week on Monday. Well, today you're getting one of Ghostbusters and AC/DC. It's called Thunderbusters. So if you're familiar with Thunderstruck and the Ghostbusters theme, hot damn, have I got good news for you. So that's coming up right after we go away here. Thank you all for listening. and we'll see you tomorrow. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I'm in a hurry.
Oh, well, all right then.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford Tough, Built Ford Proud.